Well, good morning. How you guys doing today? You doing good? You doing good? Well, I want to quickly piggyback off of one of those highlights because it's really important. Our church-wide campaign, The Real Jesus, starts next week, and we're really excited about what God is going to do during this season. I want to encourage you, actually, I want to strongly challenge you to do three things. First thing I want to ask you to do is, would you prioritize being at one of our weekend services every weekend during the campaign? That will mean that you're really in the flow of what God is doing and you won't miss out on anything. So we want you to really prioritize to being at church for the next 6 weekends. The second thing we want to encourage you to do is to get into a campaign small group. During the campaign, all of the small groups, we're all going to be going through the same material, so we'll all be learning together as a church. And if you attend a small group, you'll get a free copy of The Real Jesus book, and that book contains all of the daily devotionals for you to read throughout the campaign. Now listen, the small groups start this week. So if you don't know what group you're going to go to, you need to get on that, like today. Okay? You can find the perfect small group for you either in the information center out in the lobby or online at our website. Shameless plug, but if you're 18 to 25 years old, I'm personally hosting a small group at my house. I would love for you to join us. We could talk about it after the service in the lobby. I'd love to meet you. I will say this, I'm going to ID at the door, so any of you old guys trying to sneak in, don't try it. I might not look like much, but I could be tough when I need to be, okay? I'm just kidding, I've got 911. Lastly, we've been asking that you would use your 6-pack invite cards to invite at least 6 people to our church-wide campaign, especially if they don't yet know Jesus. We know that by far the number one reason that people come to our church is because someone like you invited them. And once they're here, you never know what God's going to do. You know, he might change their life forever. And we don't want anyone to miss out on hearing about Jesus. Okay? So if you're a guest, my name is James. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. I want to quickly introduce myself to you. If you come regularly, you'll know that I'm usually involved in leading worship here on a Sunday morning. But today, I'm super excited to be speaking with you. We're going to be learning from the Bible together. So if you have a Bible with you or maybe an app on your phone, the first verse that we're going to be looking at is Mark chapter 1, verse 38. So go ahead and open up to that, Mark chapter 1, verse 38. And before we get started, we're going to receive the offering. So if the ushers could please come forward. And I want to take a moment to thank those of you who give faithfully to God through the church. And I want to remind you that when you do that, you know, you're helping so many people in so many ways. So let's pray for the offering, and let's ask God to personally speak to each one of us through the scriptures today. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. We ask that you would take what we give to you and use it to transform the world. Would you not only bless our gifts, but also bless us as the giver? As we look into the scriptures now, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would bring your word to life to us today. And I pray for myself, Lord, that you would gift me with teaching and empower me so that I would teach the things you want me to teach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, as I said earlier, most weekends I'm involved in leading worship here, either singing or playing an instrument. But what that means is that, you know, me and you, we get to see each other a lot, but we don't get to speak to each other a lot. So I wanted to take this opportunity to kind of tell you guys a little thing about me. So obviously, I'm from England, right? It's the accent that gives it away. Don't be confused, I am not from Australia. I am not from Canada. Someone has asked me if I'm from Boston. What is that about? I don't know. So I'm from England. Obviously, I have an accent. And when I first moved here about 10 years ago to Arizona, something that would catch me off guard is every single conversation would go like this. Whether I'd be like at the store or in the checkout line or ordering food, every conversation would go like this. So I'm going to do a little role play real quickly so you can understand. Okay. American. Oh my gosh, I love your accent. Me. Thanks, I have always had it. American. Say something. Say something? Say something? What does that even mean? You know that thing that's, if I say to you, don't think about an elephant, what are you all thinking about now? An elephant, right? Well, say something. Say something is like the opposite of that. When someone says to me, say something, my mind immediately goes blank. I don't know if anyone's ever asked you to say something, but let me tell you, it's disconcerting. So, in order to avoid any future awkwardness, I put together a list. Top five things that Americans love to hear me say. So see if you can figure out what I'm saying to you. Number one, tomato. What do you guys say? Tomato. Number two, garage. That's where I park my car. Where do you guys park your car? The garage. Number three, I say water, or if I'm speaking less properly, I say water. Let me tell you something. When you're trying to stay hydrated in the desert, it's difficult to get a drink when no one understands what you're asking for. Invariably, I'll be with a group of people and they'll have to say, no, he wants water. That's my best American accent. It's terrible. Anyway, number four, I say herb. You guys say herb. I also say oregano, whereas you guys say... Oh, I said the wrong thing. I've been too Americanized. I say... I say oregano. You guys say oregano. Man, I'm losing my touch. And then the fifth thing, we say aluminium. You guys say aluminum. That one doesn't really make any sense, but whatever. So I've lived in Arizona for about 10 years now, and I think I'm fairly well adjusted. I think I'm used to living here, you know, the summer, the cactus, that time of year you guys call winter, but it's kind of still summer. I don't know. But something that I'll never get used to is the fact that in England, football, you play with a foot and a ball, okay? To me, that's football. Whatever you guys call football, I know you're excited for football, that is not football. You know the one guy who actually kicks the ball? No one even likes him, you know? See, growing up in England, football is super important. It's almost a religion to some people. And when your team scores a goal, man, it's like the best feeling. But today, we're going to talk about personal goals. Do you see what I did there? Come on. I was quite proud of that segue. Yes, give me a clap, go ahead. So I could drink some water. Why should we set goals for each of the main areas in your life? See, setting personal goals by faith is part of us joining God in his desire to change us and make us more like his son, Jesus. It's about making the rest of your life the best of your life. And the rest of your life starts today. So let me begin by giving you six reasons why we need to set some goals in our life. So why set personal goals? Number one, goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. Do you know that God sets goals? God has goals for the universe. God has a plan for planet Earth. God has a plan for history. God even has goals set for eternity. And God certainly has goals for your life. The Bible tells us that Jesus set goals. He was very purposeful. He was on a mission. Satan tried to tempt him, tried to distract him, he tried to derail him for what he came to do. But no one who has ever lived was more purposeful than Jesus. For example, in Mark chapter 1, Jesus gets up while it's still dark outside, it's very early, and he goes off to a solitary place to pray. Hours later, something tells me the disciples like to sleep. Peter and the other disciples, they go to look for him, and when they find him, they're clearly annoyed. They're like, Jesus, everyone's been looking for you. And Jesus replies, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. See, Jesus knew exactly who he was and why he was here. He was here for a specific purpose. He had a specific goal in mind. And it's not just Jesus. Just about every person who ever walked with God in the Bible was purposeful. You know, they were led by a set of God-given goals. For example, in Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. Anyone out there become perfect yet? Yeah, me neither. But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, some of you need to do that, forget what lies behind, and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, Paul was goal-oriented. He says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but I press on toward the goal. Why is it so important for us to set goals? Because it's a spiritual responsibility. You're going to go through life either by design or by default. You're either going to set goals and you're going to decide what's important to you, or other people are going to decide what's important to you. So if you don't have clear goals in life, you're just coasting. And when you're coasting, you're always going downhill. Goal setting is an incredibly important spiritual responsibility. And goals are also statements of faith. A lot of people think a goal is a statement of faith. Isn't that like a business thing? Isn't that like a secular thing? Isn't that, you know, something that athletes do? Well, no, this is a spiritual habit we all need to develop because goals are statements of faith. In other words, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you set a goal, what you're saying is, I believe, that's faith, that God wants me to accomplish a goal by a certain time. That's a statement of faith. However, goals aren't just statements of faith. They also stretch our faith. And the bigger the goal, the more our faith will be stretched. And that pleases God. See Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. So if I don't have any goals, then I don't need any faith. And if I don't need any faith, the Bible says it's impossible for me to please God. So it's really important for us to set goals in life. Number three, goals focus my energy. They keep us from wasting time, energy, and money. They help focus my life. And focus is the key to an effective life. The more you focus your life, the more powerful and the more effective your life will be. So if you spread it out, if you diffuse your life over a bunch of different things, you'll have no impact at all. But if you focus your life, it's going to be impactful. It's going to be strong. It might just change the world. For example, light diffused has no real power at all. But when you focus light, it can have enormous power. See, the sun, it doesn't just set fire to everything every day, does it? Because its light is diffused. But if you take a magnifying glass and the sun, you know, you can burn grass. You could even fry ants. Not that any of you guys have done that, right? And I'm not confessing to some like weird dark part of my history. The point is that if you focus light, it can start a fire. And if you can focus light even more, it becomes a laser, and a laser can cut through steel. And I want every one of you to live a laser-like life, a focused life. Goals focus your energy. Then the fourth reason to set goals is goals keep me going. Goals keep me going. They give me hope to endure. They give me hope to persist. When you're going through hell, what do? You keep going. You don't make a home in hell. You don't stay there and camp overnight. When you're going through hell, you keep going. And the way that you do that is you set a goal beyond whatever it is that you're going through. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, Jesus looked beyond the pain to the payoff. You need to do that too. You have to have a goal to keep you going. They did a study once of Holocaust survivors, you know, people who survived the Nazi death camps of World War II. Do you know what they found out? They discovered that every one of them had one thing in common. Every one of them had something to look forward to. Those that didn't have anything to live for, those who didn't have a goal out there, you know, they lost hope. They gave up the will to live, and they died. But when you have a long-term goal, it keeps you from being discouraged with short-term setbacks. And everybody has setbacks. Everybody blows it. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has failures. In fact, failure is the only way you succeed. You cannot succeed in life without failing. Do you know why? Because that's how you learn what works and what doesn't work. So never call it a failure. Call it an education. And some of us here today, we're highly educated, right? If I could offer you one piece of advice, I would say this. Learn to fail fast. Don't be paralyzed by the fear of failure. You need to understand you are going to fail, because everybody fails out there all the time. So fail as fast as you can, and then learn from it. When you try something and it doesn't work, try something else. Goals keep me going, and long-term goals keep me from being discouraged by short-term setbacks. You may have come here this weekend. Maybe you're feeling a little discouraged. Maybe you're feeling a little depressed. If that's the case, you need to set some new goals. The fifth reason to set goals is because goals build my character. Drifting doesn't build your character. Goals build your character. If you set a goal and you begin to get God's vision for your life, God begins to work in you. The greatest benefit to your life from the goals you're going to set is not going to be the accomplishments and the achievements you acquire because of those goals. The greatest benefit is going to be what happens inside of you while you're moving toward those goals. See, God is more interested in your character than he is in your accomplishments. You are not going to take your accomplishments to heaven. Let me say that again so it really sinks in. You are not going to take your accomplishments to heaven. You're not going to take your success to heaven. You're not going to take your career to heaven. You're not going to take anything that you've bought or acquired to heaven. But you are going to take your character. God is more interested in who you are and what you become than in what you do and what you accomplish. Here's the idea. While I'm working on my goals, God is working on me. That's what God wants to do in your life. Goals help build my character. The sixth reason to set a goal, Good goals will be rewarded. If you have good goals, God goals, you will be rewarded. Look at what Proverbs 11 says. If your goals are good, you'll be respected. Do you want to be respected? Then you need to set some goals that are good, some goals that are God-given. In the 19th century, William Wilberforce had the God-given goal of ending slavery in England. And his faithfulness, his single-mindedness, his determination, and his dedication to that goal over 25 years eventually led to the end of slavery in England. Martin Luther King had a goal, racial equality. He did amazing things. Everybody respects him, even to this day. See, if your goals are good, you will be respected. But the real reward in setting good goals is rooted in the life to come. The Apostle Paul says this: all athletes practice strict self-control. You know, they eat right, they sleep right, they work out, they exercise. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. You know, people don't remember yesterday's game very long, do they? But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run, Paul says, straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Paul was a purpose-driven goal setter, and you need to be that too. So there are lots of reasons for us to set goals. But a question we need to answer is this: what kind of goal does God bless? What kind of goal does God reward? Not every goal you can set is a good goal. Not every goal is a goal God's going to bless. So you want to set goals in your life, but you need to set the kind of goal that God is going to bless, the kind of goal that God is going to give you the power to achieve. So how do you know if a goal you're setting is a goal God will bless? Well, here are some questions to ask yourself in your goal setting. Will this goal honor God? What kind of goal do you think would honor God? What kind of goal do you think brings glory to God? Any goal that causes you to trust God more, or to depend on God more, or to love him more, or to love other people more, or to serve God more, or to serve others more, and to be more unselfish, if it does any of those things, it's a good goal. It's a God goal. Let me give you some examples. God paid a great price for you, so use your body to honor God. Are you using your body to honor God? Or are you just using your body for pleasure, for selfish things? Use your body to honor God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, when you eat or drink or do anything, always do it to honor God. Did you know that everything can be done to honor God? You could take out the trash to honor God. Some of you need to hear that today. You can wash the dishes to honor God. You could clean out your closet to honor God. You can study for a test to honor God. How? By doing it with the right motive, with the right attitude. It's having the attitude of, I want my life to bring glory to God, so I'm going to be the best that I can be for God's glory. See, doing things with excellence does two things. It glorifies God and it inspires other people. Another question to ask yourself in your goal setting, is this goal motivated by love? God is not going to bless a goal motivated by greed or by competition or envy or guilt or grudges. He's not going to honor a goal that's built on worry or fear or anxiety. God is not going to bless a goal that's motivated by materialism or ego or pride. But when you set a goal out of love, God, I want to do this because I love you and I want to love other people, God's going to honor that because it's all about love. Life is all about learning how to love. Paul says, love must be your highest goal. And he goes on to say, everything we do must be done with love. Everything. Everyone underline that for me real quick. Everything. That's so important. That should be the number one goal in our life. I want to really learn how to love. I want to learn to love unlovely people. I want to learn to love the unloved. I want to learn to love people who are hard to love. That's being like God. Why is it so important for us to have goals that are based on love? Because if we set loveless goals, we're going to treat other people like projects. We're going to run all over them in order to accomplish our goals. You're going to run all over your marriage. You're going to run all over your friends. You're going to run all over other people as you try to climb the ladder of success. But God says, no. You've got it all wrong. It's not about accomplishments. It's about relationships. It's about learning how to love. So ask yourself, will this goal honor God? Is this goal motivated by love? And will this goal require me to depend upon God? Remember Hebrews 11? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have a goal that requires faith, then it's not a God-pleasing goal. So any goal that honors God or is motivated by love or requires me to depend on God is a goal that God is going to bless. Look at this verse, Proverbs 16. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We need to plan the way that we want to live, but only God gives us the power and the energy and the ability to actually do it, to make the transformation. Why? Because God provides three things we absolutely must have to reach our goals. Three things we must have to change our lives. I need the Holy Spirit to empower me. You know, we see a lot of striving in Western culture, don't we? I don't know if you've seen this on Instagram or Facebook, or I don't know if Barnes & Noble still exists, but they have whole racks of books dedicated to this. I see it every day. If you work harder, you can succeed. If you put more effort in, you can do anything. But this is not something based on willpower. This is something based on God's power. I need God's Spirit to empower me to make the changes that I can't do on my own. So I need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill me and empower me every day. And if you're anything like me, multiple times a day. I need the Holy Spirit to empower me. And I need God's Word to guide me. The Bible is our truth source. The more you get the Bible into your mind, your heart, and your life, the more you read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, that means think about it, the more transformed you will be. When Joshua was given the great dream of taking over the promised land, a dream that was going to take him the rest of his life, God had these words to say to him. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. That is one of the greatest promises of success in the Bible. That's why I need God's word to guide me. So three things I need to reach my goals. I need the Holy Spirit to empower me. I need God's word to guide me. And lastly, I need God's people to support me. I need God's people to support me. You will not be able to reach your goals on your own. You need other people in your life. That's one of the reasons we encourage everyone in our church family to be in a small group. And let me say it again. If you don't know what campaign small group you're going to join yet, you still have time, but you need to join one. Listen, you're never going to really feel like you're a part of our church until you're in a small group. A crowd can't support you, but a small group can support you. 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 other people, they can know when you're sick. They can know when you're going through a really tough time in life. They can know when you've had a bad day. You need God's people to support you. Now, before I bring this into land, I want to give you some really practical advice when you're setting a goal. I think this is something that's going to be very helpful to you. Your goal needs to be smart. You need to set a smart goal. You don't need to be smart, but your goal needs to be smart, okay? Now, this isn't in your bulletin, but it'll be on the screen if you want to write it down. SMART is an acronym that stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. When you're setting a goal, make sure that you are specific about that goal. Don't just write down something like, I want to be a better person. That's a great thing to want, but it's too vague. And when a goal is too vague, it's very difficult to know when you've achieved it. So be specific. The M stands for measurable. You know, it's really hard to stay on track with something if you can't measure it. For example, a goal like, my goal is to read the Bible more. That is a great goal. However, something like, my goal is to read the Bible for at least 10 minutes every single day. That's a smart goal. It's measurable. Next, your goal needs to be attainable. Remember, your goal needs to be something that stretches your faith, but don't make it something that is impossible. Raising someone from the dead might be a little bit out of your reach. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know some of you in this crowd. However, praying for 1 or 2 people a week, that's attainable, and it will stretch your faith. The R stands for realistic. Be honest with yourself. You know what you're capable of. Let's get real just for a moment. You're never going to get abs like Pastor Brian. Okay? I'm sorry if I offended anyone. I'm being realistic. In fact, the only six-pack that most of us are going to get is the one we give out to invite people to church. So be realistic about your goal. Finally, and this one is super important, your goal needs to be time-bound. And fortunately, this one is easy for us because we have a 7-week campaign coming up. And I want you to know, the Real Jesus campaign, it's going to be fun. It's going to be more than fun. It's going to be life-changing for some of us. But it will only change your life if you will do it. If you will hear and read and watch and talk and do, you will grow. But if all you do is come to church a couple of times in the next 6 weeks, the next 6 weekends, you're not going to be transformed. You're not going to be much different by the end of the campaign. You need to participate. You need to commit to coming to church. Commit to attending a small group. Commit to working with God to achieve your spiritual goals. Will you do it? Will you do it? I want to give us all some time to sit and listen to God and maybe set a goal for the campaign. I made sure that there was room on the bulletin, you know, in your outline so that you could write that goal down. That's what those two lines are at the very bottom, so you could write it down. This is not the end of the service. I'll dismiss us in a minute. We're going to be listening for God's voice. So unless you really need to get up, can I just ask that we would remain in an attitude of prayer? You know, maybe there's some area of your life that you know you need to work on. Maybe there's something that you're passionate about or interested in, but you know you need to grow. Maybe you need to really set that goal of coming to church every single weekend for the next 6 weekends. Maybe you need to finally commit to really joining a small group. I don't know what it is for you, but let's ask God to talk to us. Would you pray with me? You don't have to close your eyes, but sometimes closing our eyes can be really helpful to help us to focus on God. It blocks out any distractions. And just as we sit together, I want you to ask God, God, what is one goal that you want to work with me on? You know, for some of you, I feel like God's given you a goal before, but you thought, I could never do that. I could never, you know, pray for one person a week, or I don't have time to read my Bible. You know, I think God wants to say to you today, you know, I want to set a goal that stretches your faith. Write that down. You know, one of the ways that God speaks to us is just, you know, there'll just be like a little idea that pops into your head. And it can be really easy to just be like, ah, that was yesterday's lunch or whatever. But you know, we use our imagination for a lot of things, but God uses our imagination too. So when you asked God, God, what's a goal that you want me to set? And you had an idea that popped into your head. You know, if that was a goal that brings honor to God, that's pleasing to Him, maybe that was God telling you what He wants you to set your goal to be. Don't just dismiss that. And then once you feel like God's given you a goal, write it down. That's really important. Write it down. Put it in your phone. Use your outline. But there's something that happens when we have an idea and then write it down. There's something powerful about that. Something physical, where we're really committing to something. You know, we're writing it down, you know. My goal is to come to church every weekend for the next 6 weekends. My goal is to invite 3 people to church this week. Write it down. To help you commit to it. Well, I hope the Lord was able to speak to you today and you were able to write down at least one spiritual goal. Will you join me in standing? And would the ministry team please come forward? I'm going to pray a blessing over us and then dismiss the service. But if you would like to receive prayer for anything, a job, an illness, a relationship, maybe you'd like to receive prayer for that goal that you just set, then we would love to pray for you today. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you that we can come before you. We can worship you, Lord. We can learn from your word and we can hear your voice. Would you bless each one of us, God? Would you continue to provide for us and to be with us? We thank you for everything that you do in our lives. Lord, I thank you for your love. Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done. And it's in your powerful name that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we hope to see you next weekend as Pastor Brian kicks off the campaign. If you're a guest, we'd love to meet you at our guest welcome in the Information Center. I'll see you soon.